Good morning. My name is Greg. I don't know if you're in the balcony. You may not be able to see me because I'm short and I'm not going to step back there. Hopefully, although that would be funny. Funny. I'm glad you're all here. This is awesome. We have baptism service today, as you know. And baptism, it's a beautiful sacrament. And before I move forward with some things I'm going to say, I just want to pause. I'm going to take a breath. And I want to thank God for all that he has done to get us to this day. God, we are grateful, we are humbled that you choose to interact with we people. And we are excited to witness what you have done miraculously in people's lives today. Thank you for that. Amen. So we have a lot of people here today that are here to witness and participate in baptisms, and we are so glad you're here. I want to welcome you. Around here, we have been in a series during the season of Lent, and it's been called Wilderness, and we've been working our way through the book of Numbers, and the talk today is going to be short. It's going to be abbreviated, but the wilderness that is spoken of in the book of Numbers, it does have some connection to baptism, and I'll try to get there today. In Numbers, we've seen how God has used the wilderness to connect with and to lead his people since the beginning of time. And if you are one of God's kids, chances are you have or you will spend some time in the wilderness. I mean, even God's own son wasn't exempt from this strategy. Jesus, he had grown up in Nazareth, went to Jewish schools, maybe helped around in the family carpentry business, and around 30 years old, he steps out. And at the same time, around this time, his cousin John, he's living this vagabond life out in the wilderness, and people come to him, and he tells them to repent. You see, he was preparing the way for Jesus, just as was promised in the book of Isaiah. And as people came to hear John, they'd hear his message, and some would believe, and they would repent, and he would baptize them right in the Jordan River. In the book of Numbers, it recounts the 40-year journey of God's people from Mount Sinai to the land that was promised to Abraham. Now, the geographical location where John is doing his preparatory work for the work that Jesus would do is at the same area where God's people end up as they prepare to cross over into the promised land. Anyways, he's doing his thing, and one day Jesus shows up, and this is how Matthew records what happened in Matthew chapter 3. It says this: "Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. 'I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you,' he said. 'So why are you coming to me?' But Jesus said, 'It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires.' So John agreed to baptize him." So I totally get John's hesitation here, because the world has yet to realize just who Jesus is. But John knows, he knows that the promised Messiah is asking him to baptize him, just as he's been baptizing all these other people. And so he baptizes Jesus. And after he comes up out of the water, Scripture recounts quite a show. It says that the heavens opened, and it says that God's Spirit came down on Jesus, like as a dove would, and lands on him. Now, this is frightening to me, because it's a bird. A bird. I don't know about that. It's probably dirty. It may be hungry, and like Jesus' face is like right there. All the artist renderings of this, I grew up in church and we'd have flannel graphs, and the pictures of this make it look so peaceful and delightful. Doesn't seem delightful to me. It's a bird. A baptism like no others. Amazing. After Jesus comes up out of the water and this bird lands on him, a voice from heaven declared just who Jesus was. He was God's son. And then he gives him the stamp of approval and says that God loves him and that he's proud of him. Ridiculous. And from here, Jesus goes into the wilderness, just as God's people had. The stories that are told in the book of Numbers, they are told over and over again throughout history. And this continues all the way up until Jesus' time. Jesus, you see, he would spend 40 days in the desert. And during this time, he's going to be tested. And in that, his trust in God does not waver. God's people, they spent 40 years in the desert. And in that time, they too were tested. And their trust in God did waver. But even in that, God chose to bless them with provision, protection, and for some, a promised land. The nation of Israel, they entered into the desert after passing through a sea, a declaration of who was with them. Jesus, he entered into the wilderness after a baptism, a declaration of whose he was. Baptism, it's an ancient practice. Now, salvation does not come from these waters. And were people who needed saving. So if it's not from here, then from where? Salvation. It's found in Jesus. You see, our sin, it had separated us from a holy God. And Jesus, he died in our place to pay the debt of that sin. He was buried. He was placed in a tomb. And he walked out of that tomb alive. Crazy, right? Crazy. Scripture says in Paul's letter to the Ephesians that salvation that comes through Jesus comes through faith, grace. It's not our works. It's Jesus' work. He did the work, and then he offers it to us as a gift, free for us, costly for him. Astounding. Baptism, it's meant to reflect this act and to reflect to whom our allegiance belongs. It's an outward act that symbolizes what has happened on the inside. And what's happened on the inside is a person has decided that they're no longer going to rely on anyone else for their salvation except for Jesus. Now while the purpose of baptism may not be salvation, it does have purpose. Its purpose is to give like a visual testimony of our commitment to Christ. It's among the first steps in being a disciple of Jesus, choosing to follow Jesus. In the sacrament of baptism, there is symbolism. The symbolism is that just as Jesus died and was buried, the person being baptized is lowered under the water. And just as Jesus rose from the dead, the person being baptized comes from beneath the water. Under the water represents the believer's old life, and coming out represents their new life. Baptism, it's like a wedding ring. Like we put a wedding ring on as a symbol of our commitment and devotion. It's a declaration that we belong to someone. And baptism is that in the same way. It communicates our devotion and commitment to Christ. And it communicates that we no longer just belong to ourselves. We belong to Jesus. And that's what we get to witness today. It's simple, but so much more. Exactly. I like that. I'm ready to go. You see, people chose to be baptized to show that their lives are devoted to Jesus. It's an act of obedience. Now, today we're going to do something different than we've done in other baptism services here before, at least since I've been here, which is like 23 years. In Luke's gospel, he tells a great story about a baptism, and I think it symbolizes what we hope to see happen today. There was this guy named Philip in the early church. He was a deacon, and he was helping make sure that the widows among them got taken care of. And he ended up being one of the first people to take the story of Jesus outside of Jerusalem. And one day, this is how in Acts chapter 8, Luke recounts the story. He says that an angel comes to Philip, and he tells him to go from Jerusalem to Gaza. And so he goes. He obeys. And on his way, he comes along a man who was in charge of all the finances for the Queen of Ethiopia. He had been in Jerusalem worshiping. You see, this man, he believed in the God of Israel. And he's reading the book of Isaiah as he traveled, and he's trying to figure out what a passage says, and he comes along Philip. And Philip, he takes the time and he explains to him about the text that he's reading. He says that what Isaiah is talking about is the promised Messiah. And then he goes on to tell him that the Jesus that he had heard about, he was the promised Messiah, the one that everyone had been waiting for. He had come. And the man believed that what Philip told him was true. And at some point, as they traveled, he looked and he saw some water and he decided to be baptized, like right then and there, declaring to whom he would be devoted. I love this story. I love it. I can picture it. Now, today we have several people. I think they're over here. There's lights. There's people over here. They're going to be baptized. But you might find yourself here today like that man from Ethiopia. The man, when he was confronted with the reality of just who Jesus was and believed it to be true, he just had to get baptized right then and there. Luke records him saying, "Hey, look, there's water. Why can't I be baptized?" That's a fantastic question. The answer is, there's really no reason why you can't. We have water. I don't know if we've done this before, but if you find yourself like that man and you want to get baptized today, we will make that happen. Yeah, seriously, members of the elder minister team will meet you in the lobby. You could grab the person next to you and say, "Will you come with me and go talk to them?" And we would love to talk to you. We've prepared for this. Like, seriously, we have clothes for you to change into, a towel for you to dry off with, then you can put your dry clothes back on and go out into the freezing cold. Not wet. We're ready. Like, seriously, there's no fooling here. We're going to give you that opportunity. Baptism. Baptism isn't just for the one being baptized. It's for the whole church. Like, the one being baptized says to the church, "I'm one of you. I am with you, and together we're going to follow him." Right? The whole body is involved. This is a celebration. So things, I hope, will get boisterous, possibly a bit rowdy. That is good. Like, we are witnessing miraculous involvement in people's lives, and some of us even know those people who that work happened in. This is crazy. I love this. This is fun. So we're doing this. If you would like to talk to an elder minister, member of the elder minister team, and you would like to get baptized today, we will make that happen. We will help you decide if today is the day you should do that. Maybe it's not. We can help you do that. So in a moment, I'm going to move over there. Those being baptized are going to join me, and they're going to share just a little bit about what God has done in their life. And then they'll be followed up by the one that is going to be baptizing them, or those who are going to be baptizing them are going to share just a little bit about how that person blesses the overall body of Christ. This is fun. So I'm going to pray, and then you guys can join me, all right? God, we're grateful, we are grateful, and we are humbled. May what we witness today feed our faith. If there are those here who do not know you yet, I pray that you will call them to know you, and they will place their trust in you. Amen.